live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Tamsin Wimhurst came to the David Parr House on Gwydir Street by chance when she went to interview Elsie Palmer, David Parr's granddaughter, for another project in 2009. Last week, the unique David Parr House was given Grade 2 listed status. I spoke to Tamsin, now Chair of Trustees for the House, about her love of local history, how her love of local history came about, and how this led to her discovering this remarkable place.
Well, Alex, I think that maybe I should take you back to my childhood if I can, which was quite a long time ago now. But I suppose in my family, my father was a historian. He worked at one of the tech colleges in Norwich. So there was always a love of history there. And so we would always be visiting museums or visiting churches, or it was just part of my childhood. And then I think I was really inspired by one of my teachers in my middle school. It was just normal state middle school. And there was a teacher called Mr. Cole, and he was actually an artist. And for one whole term, he let me make out of a cardboard box and any old other bits and pieces that I could find the interior of a Victorian parlour. And I just remembered absolutely loving doing this. And I think that's what really sparked my interest in history. Because I should say, I don't think I have a natural aptitude to history in many ways, and that I don't have that much of a memory. And so remembering dates is really difficult for me.
So going back to our childhood, which is probably a similar time, history was all about learning dates, wasn't it? So probably school history may have not been always what we thought as so interesting.
No, it's very true. School history is very much about reading and memorising dates and names. And so it wasn't something that I necessarily found easy when I was at school, although I did have a love of it. And I suppose I really began to love it when I went to do A-levels, and I didn't stay at school. I went to the tech college. And there I was sitting in history lessons with a whole lot of people who weren't just my age. There was a lot of mature students. And so the debates that we used to have and the discussions that we used to have was really stimulating and interesting. But once again, I then left history because, in fact, my degree was a B.Ed. in geography and obviously training to be a teacher. And it was only when I taught in London, taught in a junior school, which was on Drury Lane in London. So it was right in the centre. And I was surrounded by all these museums and art galleries. And this was so long ago that it was before the national curriculum was there. And I had a very inspired head teacher who just said, children will learn most by taking them out. So if ever I wanted to take the children out, I could. So having learnt, I should say, from Francis Sword, who was a real leading light in using museums for educational purposes, and she was at the Fitzwilliam when I was training to be a teacher, I would take my children up to the British Museum, to the Tate Gallery, to the National Gallery, to the London Museum, whenever I wanted. And it was there that I really could see how museums were wonderful, wonderful places in order to teach children all sorts of subjects, not just history. I used to do maths lessons and English lessons up in these museums. So then I left teaching. And when I began thinking I wanted to go back to work, I thought, I really want to explore museums and education. So I was very lucky. I volunteered at the Museum of Cambridge in their educational department. And soon after doing that, the education officer left. And so there was an opportunity for me to take over that role, which I did. And I then spent many years as the education officer at the Folk Museum. At the same time as going into museum work, I also did a master's in history at Cambridge, at Lucy Cavendish College. And I suppose what that showed me was the beauty of local history, because I was very much interested in hidden histories at the time, especially women's history. And as I began to do my research into women's history, I found that if you looked at a local level, you got a very different picture about what women were doing in the past as I had been taught that they did in my history lessons. You know, I was taught that Victorian ladies just used to sit around in corsets, not doing very much. But actually, when I started to look at documents and local societies that they're involved with, I found that just wasn't the case. So that was where I began to get a real love for the local. And Cambridge is a very interesting place to look at local history. You've got the university and the town, and you've got the relationship between the two, and you've got all the connections that the Cambridge University brings as well. So I have researched many topics, what I would call local history topics in my life, everything from local swimming on the river to laundry work, which I did with a local creative group called Freudian Slips and was great fun to research. And I love looking at the original documents, and I love working with children and adults looking at original documents. There's something very special about them. And then the David Parr House came along. And I wasn't expecting this at all. It was something that was very special, and I decided that it had to be saved.
Can you just give us the reason why you actually ended up at the David Parr House? Because that was a historic project that you were doing at the time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was. So I was with a colleague, Jane Phillimore, putting on an exhibition called A Space of My Own. And we were interviewing Cambridge people and taking their photos just of their normal spaces, their rooms that they had around them. And for me, it was a way of collecting, if you like, the history that we have now, because museum stores are filled to the brim and they can't collect objects. So I wanted to think of a way that we could record the objects that people had. It was a wonderful project to be doing. I really enjoyed meeting all these people and interviewing them. And one of the neighbours on Gwydir Street rang up the museum and said, Tamsin must go and interview Mrs. Palmer, who lived at 186 Gwydir Street over the road from this person. And so we knocked on the door, and I thought I was just going to go and see a very normal house, but I walked into it and it was anything but normal. And the interior was hand-painted by David Parr, who was Elsie's grandfather, in Victorian times. And he worked for people like William Morris and George Bodley, some of our great designers of the day, through a firm called the Frederick Leach Firm. And he then came home and painted his house in the same style. And these hand-painted walls have survived because basically it stayed in the family until 2013. So this came along, this house, and it just got completely under my skin, and I just thought, we have to save it. At that point, we didn't know the connections between William Morris. That all came later from the detective work or research. And I suppose that's another thing I just love about history, is it's a bit like doing a jigsaw puzzle. You just find one little bit and then another little bit, and then those two bits connect and you begin to build up this bigger picture. And so for the last, well, since 2012, I have been working on saving and conserving and opening up the house to the public.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Tamsin. That's so interesting. And thank you very much, and good luck with David Parr House into the future.
Thank you, Alex. And thank you for giving me the time to look backwards. It's interesting to think where it all begins.
Cambridge 105 Radio.